Uh-oh, it went bad.
Blog Talk Radio.
One day I wasn't living, deep in sin.
because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our trouble lies, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Pastor Hinton, this morning. And we heard from Pentecostal Alexandria, we need a miracle. And before that, we heard from Russ Taft, and you should have been there when the Lord saved me. And so we thank God this morning for another Wednesday morning. Thank him for waking us up, closing our right minds. We have the use and activity of limb, life, health, and strength. And somebody may say, well, I don't have all the use of mine, but if you can hear, hey, he blessed you. If you can see, he blessed you. Yeah, you may not walk fancy, but if you can walk, hallelujah, he blessed you. You may wear glasses, but you can see. We tell him thank you. Hallelujah. All he has done for us, great and mighty things, woke us up, closing our right mind. We have the use and activity of things about our bodies. Yeah, we can eat. We can sleep. Yeah, many things he has done for us. And so we're grateful unto him. And in this life sometimes, many things come our way that we are not accustomed to or that we may not even like. We don't like this happening. Yeah, I was sharing with Sister Irene this morning that as the body get older, yeah, things start happening. Even things we used to do when we were much younger, we're not always able to continue to do everything. There are a lot of things we still can do, but we may not be able to continue to do everything. I remember when I could run and jump and flip. Yeah, I don't do those things no more. I don't feel as if I'm capable. Yeah. And to be honest, I feel like at this age, I should be taking care of this body, not breaking any kind of bones. Yeah. Because when I was younger, I could do those things. And even if I broke a bone, it would quickly mend back together because I was at an age which allows it. But now that I'm at an older age, I don't want to break anything because it may not heal as fast, may not mend quite, you know, as easy, and it may be a bit more painful. And I know it would be a lot more troublesome. So we thank God for what he has given unto us and what he has allowed. And we learn to accept what God allows. I see people dying their hair. I see people dyeing their beards and all kind of stuff because they don't want to accept the fact of what's happening to them. But God made this body and he knew all about it. And the scripture said when I was a child, I thought as a child, you know, I did childish things. But now I'm grown. I put away the childish foolishness. It should be a privilege and an honor for each of us that are aging to age gracefully, as they call it. And my reason for saying that is somebody didn't live to get to five. Somebody went out of here much earlier. But God blessed me to reach 65. Yeah. And because he blessed me to reach 65, I don't really want to go back and try to act 35. I don't want to go back acting as if I'm 45. Now, he may have given me the strength and the energy and all of this, and that's a good thing, and I thank him for it because he preserves his people. But I want to act my age, as they say. I want to do what 65-year-old women are doing, training young women. sometimes encouraging women my age and older. Yeah. Encouraging children in the right direction. Wearing the proper attire, you know, the proper clothes. And all of this kind of thing, because this says this, I accept who I am. I'm accepting daily who I'm becoming. Yeah. And I'm becoming much more of a senior citizen. Yeah. And I thank God for it. And so I thank him for this age. And I got to be honest. I've never had fun as I'm having now. Because guess what? I have wisdom. Yeah. Older age should bring wisdom. And so now that I have wisdom, I'm having a good time. Yeah. I'm free. I can go and come as I choose. God has blessed me with some places to go, some things to do, some people to see. And I am just excited and happy. I look back, a lot of my friends are gone on. Yeah, they went to take their rest. And they're no longer here. And, you know, some days you ride through your city where you live, and especially if it's your hometown. And this Jacksonville is my hometown. So sometimes I ride through there. They've torn down different buildings that I remember being there. Sometimes I remember that I went to school with this person, and we was, you know, a little bit close. And I knew them, and I knew their families. And they no longer live there. A lot of times the entire family is gone, dead and gone. Yeah. So they are no longer there. A lot of times relatives, cousins. I had two favorite cousins, my cousin Jane and my cousin Marilyn. Marilyn was in Georgia, a place called Doran, Georgia. And we would go there for family reunion. And sometimes my dad would allow me to go there to spend the summer. And Marilyn was the one who was my tour guide. She took me around and showed me Doran. And my cousin Jane, she was in Jacksonville where I lived. And from childhood, we come up together. And when I got older, married, had children. I was separated from my ex, and, you know, I would need food or different things, and she would say, come on over. And she was married, and, you know, she would do things to help me out and never tell her husband, all kind of things. But she's gone. My cousin Marilyn has totally changed. So things are not the way that they used to be. But I thank God for aging. I thank God for seeing things I never saw before. Although a lot of people are gone, God has brought brand new friends. Yeah, brand new acquaintances. And I thank him for that. Yeah. And some he has added like family members. Yeah, I appreciate them so much, and I'm thankful for them, and we're for each other. And the proof is in the pudding. You can see it. You can feel it. And I thank God for that. Yeah. And so I'm just grateful unto him for who I am today. I'm grateful because it was him that changed me from the inside out. Now, had I remained that old Barbara, I would be caught up into the world like many are at my age, or even close to my age. They're still trying to hold on to youth because they're looking for something. I thank God I can accept who I am. The overweight, I can accept being fat, as they call it. Yeah, and happy. Fat, happy, content. And what they call, what this thing is, they call it something, but look at me. But anyway, I love me. And I'm happy with who I am. I'm even happy with who I become. I'm a cook. I'm a baker. I love food. I enjoy eating. That's what I do. And I know a lot of women don't do it, but I've seen skinny people die. I've heard of skinny people being diagnosed with stuff I never had. Because they tell you if you're overweight, you're going to do this and you're going to die from that and you'll die from... Look, I am happy. Happy in Jesus. Yeah. And so when you're looking for something, it'll cause you to do some things. And when you care about what people say about you, it'll cause you to do some things because you don't want people talking about you. You look in the mirror and you want to prove of yourself. You won't like the way you look. Yeah. I have pounds on me, but when I look in the mirror, I'm happy with Barbara. Why? Any man that be in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm thankful unto the Lord for what he has done in my life. And when you accept that, let me tell you another thing. Aging should show that you have wisdom. Yeah. All right now, Louis. I'm with you when you're right. Isaiah 58 and 11 says this, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bone, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water fails not. Huh? Whose water fail not. Yeah. I'm happy in Jesus. I'm happy in God. I'm thankful unto him. And he's the only one I have to prove anything to. He's the only one that I have to make sure I'm on the right page with. Yeah. And pray for others, Barbara. Pray for others to get there. Hallelujah. So we're thankful this morning. And, you know, when I was younger, I hang out with a few older people, but I mainly hanged out with people, was hanging with people my age, let's say. And at that time, it didn't matter. But now that I'm older, I want to hang out with my age group of those that are a little bit older than I am. Because if I hang out with the 80-year-olds, they're going to teach me something. Oh, yes, they are. Yeah, if I hang out with someone 75 and older, I'm going to learn a few things. And guess what? They'll learn a few things from me. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. But we got to accept who God made us. Accept how he made the body to change. I know folks getting lifts everywhere. Lip lifts, eye lifts, breast lifts, rear end lifts, stomach tucks, sideways cuts, all kind of stuff. They have maybe orange today, tomorrow is gold, the next day is black, whatever they do. Yeah. But we want to accept us for being us. And a lot of women doing all this stuff. And do you know what some of the prettiest women having this stuff done? And they need none of that. It's no medical problem with them. They just want to change their look. Beautiful, naturally beautiful. But they decide, I want to look like Jennifer Lopez. I want to look like Beyonce. I want to look like one of the Kardashians. And they change themselves. Crazy. When God has made you beautiful. Some people that can't stand their hair, oh, it's too this, it's too that. Is that over there and is this, look, he gave you what he gave you. Learn to take care of your hair. Learn to take care of what he gave you. And it will be all right. I don't hate my hair. I love it. I can have it natural or I can flat iron it out. I won't perm it. But I can flat iron it out. I can have curls if I choose to. I can wear it straight once I flat iron it. You know, we can trim the ends however we do it. But we got to accept us for who we are and stop trying to be who you're not. Because if you're 60 and you're trying to be 35 or even go back to 55, let me tell you, you're wrong. You're 60. Embrace that. Tell God, thank you. somebody didn't make it to 60. And then somebody made it to 60, but they have many, many more problems than you have. Some people can't see, can't drive, can't walk, a lot of number things. But God bless you to be able to do all these things. And so we tell him thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We're grateful unto him. He's Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher power. And all power is on your side today, in spite of you, in spite of what you think. If you went to the altar and said, I do to God, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart and live forever. He did just that for you. And even if you've forgotten some things, it's time to walk in faith. Believe in God. Trust in God. Yeah. It's time for you to cut you out the deal. Because you can't do nothing without him. Yeah. Without him, you can do you can't breathe. You can't do nothing without Almighty God. So cut you out the deal and just let it be him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ask him for what you want. Believe it. That he loved you enough to do it. Because he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. This son suffered, bled, died, conquered all, rose with all power. If he allowed his only son to die, begotten son to die for you, truly he'll give you anything that you need. Hallelujah. And many of your wants. Oh, I'm a living witness this morning. So all we need to do is accept him and accept what he allows. Our prayer daily is, Lord, strengthen me as you have your way in my life. Because there will be a lot of things come along that you won't like. But it's him doing it because it's going to work together for your good in the end. While it's working right now, you don't feel good about it. Our trials come to make us strong. But in the end, all is going to be all right. Yeah. And so we thank him this morning. Listen, we have Pastor Terry K. Anderson from Lily Grove Missionary Baptist Church today. And his message is Interview from Hell. Interview from Hell. I love Terry K. And when he gets to the part where he said, y'all gonna help me preach this, won't you? Oh, that just tickled me. And so I've been listening to him a very long time. And we have stopped bringing him so often, but I wanted to bring him this morning and share the message of Interview from Hell. And I thank God for him. Thank God for him. Thank God for the message that he will be bringing today. So we're going to this one last song of the morning, and we're going to get in that a little bit early. I try to bring the message of the day by 8 o'clock, but I'm going to bring this one a little bit early this morning. And let's go with this one song, and after this we are going to take a listen at Pastor Terry K. Anderson.
There's a word I want to lift in your hearing, found in the Gospel of Luke at chapter 16. Luke at chapter number 16. And I want to commence reading in verse number 19. Luke chapter number 16, commencing in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thank you. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I want to talk tonight about an interview from hell. An interview from hell. I do not believe that there's enough preaching about hell. There's a whole lot of preaching about naming it and claiming it. There's a whole lot of preaching about blessings and heaven. And there's a whole lot of preaching about how to lose weight and how to get a man and how to get rid of a man.
Okay.
All kinds of cultural foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that there is a place,
yes, sir,
a literal place,
mm-hmm,
that burns with fire and brimstone.
Mm.
There's a place where the worm never dies. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are no windows in hell. There are no doors in hell.
Mm-hmm.
There are no exits in hell. There's no air in hell. But worse, there's no God in hell. Hell must be an awful place, that God would send his only son to keep us from going there. I had a discussion with one of my relatives who said, I just don't believe that God would create a person and send them to hell. We went around and around with that, and I finally came to say to him that I too do not believe that God would create anybody to send them to hell. God loves us too much to send us to hell. But God will allow you to go there if that's your choice.
All right. Come on, people.
God sends nobody to hell. You go to hell because you refuse God's gracious invitation. I'm not going to hell, and I hope you're not going either, but I'm not going to hell because I haven't been invited. And my mother taught us, never go where you have not been invited. But I have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when it's all over, I'm going to heaven to be with God, because hell is not my destiny. I want to call this man up who's in hell and stand him up in Mount Zion Church tonight and interview him before these believers, that he might tell us about the horrors of hell. As unspeakable as the glory of heaven is, that must be how unspeakable the horror of hell is. Hell is actually a place. 162 times hell is mentioned in the New Testament. 70 of those times mentioned directly by Jesus himself. Hell is not a figment of your imagination. Hell is not a parable. Hell is not some place you just go, according to the Christian Scientists, and be annihilated. Hell, according to Jehovah's Witnesses, is no such place as hell, because the Jehovah's Witnesses say that God will eventually redeem everybody and nobody will be lost. Carlton Pearson, in his foolishness, is saying that there's no such place as hell. The Seventh-day Adventists say that all will be redeemed, and there's no such thing as a hell. Stephen Hawking, the theoretical physicist and cosmologist, who wrote a book entitled A Brief History of Time. This past Friday, his remains were interred underneath the floor in a crypt in Westminster Abbey in London. He's buried in between Sir Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Isaac Newton said, to worship Jesus as God is idolatry. Charles Darwin says that there is no such thing as hell. Stephen Hawking's voice was transmitted into space to the nearest black hole so that he would live forever in his voice in space. He's in between Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin, and Stephen Hawking himself said that I do not believe that there is a God, neither is there an afterlife, so there is no heaven and there is no hell. He's buried underneath the floor of Westminster Abbey between Isaac Newton and Charles Darwin. Neither one of them believed in God. All three of them were atheists. I wonder what they're talking about in hell tonight. Because the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Brothers and sisters, hell is a real place for real people who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are lost and on your way to hell. That's bad news. But the good news is you don't have to go to hell, because God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, to rise for your justification, to keep you from going to hell. I want to call this man out of hell tonight. and stand him up here in the Mount Zion Church and let him tell us about the horrors of hell. The Bible says a certain rich man, clothed in purple and fine linen, who fared sumptuously every day. This purple that this rich man wore was the garment of royalty. The dye needed to make this robe deep purple had to be imported from Tyre. Scarlet and amethyst and rose, those colors, blue, were imported from Tyre. The linen underwear was the most expensive fabric in the ancient world, imported from Egypt. He had on purple robes with Egyptian underwear, and he fared sumptuously every day. The regular fare, the regular meal of people in that world was bread and soup and fruit. And they feasted only at weddings or ceremonial holy days. But this man fared sumptuously every day. Imported clothes, imported foods, the best meats, the most sumptuous delicacies, and he had to go through his gate every day to get to his mansion to put on purple robes, Egyptian underwear, and he passed a beggar ragged every day. He goes inside his gated community, walks up to his stately mansion, goes to his closet, gets his purple that's imported from Tyre, his underwear that's imported from Egypt, sits down at his lavish spread with imported meats and delicacies from around the world. And there are no napkins in that day, so he takes his hand and wipes his hand on bread that he could give to the poor, but he wipes his hand on bread and throws it on the floor and never even thinks about Lazarus. And here, brothers and sisters, Lazarus is the only man that Jesus ever names in one of his stories. Because the name Lazarus in the Greek is the Hebrew name Eleazar, which means God has helped us. But Lazarus is a beggar. He's ragged. He's poor. He's laid at the gate every day. This rich man comes to his gated community, goes to his stately mansion, puts on his purple robes dyed from Tyre, his Egyptian underwear, sits down at his table, fares sumptuously, wipes his hand on bread, and throws it on the floor, and never gives Lazarus a second thought. Lazarus is a beggar. There is no Social Security. There is no FEMA check. There is no money from aid for dependent children. He's a beggar. He's broke. He has nothing. He's at the gate every day. He's ragged. This man is rich. Lazarus is down and out. This man fares sumptuously every day. But then all of a sudden, the scene changes. There is a simultaneous juxtaposition. Both of them die. They die on the same day. Because the Bible says that Lazarus dies and is angelically transported to Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies and he's buried. Listen to that again. Lazarus dies and goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies and he's buried. If you don't know God, when you die, all that will happen to you is you're buried. Everything that you are, everything that makes you you, goes in the ground with you if you don't know Jesus Christ.
But if you know God, you are angelically transported, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
When this earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, the believer has another building, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens.
Both of them die. Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man is buried.
But I want to call him up and stand him here in Mount Zion Church tonight and interview this man so he can tell us something about what's going on in hell. First thing that comes to mind for us from this man's lips is, in hell, he is conscious. He sees Lazarus. He's aware. He has all of his faculties. That there's no going to hell and burning up and it's all over. In hell, you are tortured forever. No windows, no doors, no exit, no air, no God. You can try to die and won't be able to. There's no getting out of hell. There's no getting incinerated and then it's all over. No, you are tormented in flames forever. I could handle hell for about 13 seconds. But I can't get with that forever situation.
No air. No windows. No doors. No light. No God. He hears the screams of the tormented. He feels the flames of the wicked. And he sees what he could have had.
Because hear me, brothers and sisters, hell is filled with memory and remorse.
Memory and remorse. Because in hell, he sees Lazarus.
I want to show you how God has a sense of humor. When this rich man was alive and on earth, walking through his gated community up to his palace, going to put on his purple and fine linen, sit down and fare sumptuously at his table, every day he walked down looking down at Lazarus. But now he's in hell and he has to look up at Lazarus. I need to say something to you, Mount Zion. Be careful, folk you pass by, and act like you don't know them, and act like they're not on your level, and act like you better than them.
Every saint in here has a past, and every sinner in here has a future.
Have I got a witness here?
Be careful how you treat the stranger.
I wish I had somebody to help me preach.
This country will go to hell if we keep mistreating people on our borders and not taking them in. What you going to do with that passage of scripture that says it would be better for you that a millstone were tied about your neck and you were drowned in the depths of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to go astray? What happened to that scripture that says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven? What happened to the scripture that says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me? I was naked and you wouldn't clothe me. I was sick and you wouldn't come to see me. Outdoors and you wouldn't take me in. And the evangelical church will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Thirsty. Naked. Sick and in prison.
And Jesus will say to them, inasmuch as you did it to the Salvadorans, inasmuch as you did it to the Hondurans, inasmuch as you did it to the African Americans, inasmuch as you did it to the Native Americans, you did it also unto me. I'm trying to get away from that. because I feel my pressure going up every time I talk about this. But Trump is the president of these United States because of this country's fascination with celebrity and wealth. And the white church, and it's starting to happen in the black church, we are starting to worship wealth and people who have it. Our heroes are not the brothers and sisters in the church. Our heroes are fools like Jay-Z and Kanye West and Beyonce and them crazy people. Them people don't know nothing about God. Give me some old person in church who comes to church every Sunday, knee bent and body bowed, and giving God the glory. That's my heroes. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. When I was a child growing up in my little town in Louisiana where I'm from, we used to laugh at those old deacons and praying the same prayer every Sunday. I can still hear Brother Richard Walker right now. He'd get on his knees and say, "Lord, here I am. Once more and again. Knee bent and body bowed. Thank you for a reasonable portion of my health and strength." Then he said, "I thank you that the bed I laid in was not my cooling board. And the kibbles that I laid in," he never would say cover, he said kibble, "my kibbles were not my winding sheet." And we'd go home and I'd put some old glasses on and my brother would be an usher and my sisters would shout. And I would pray like Brother Richard Walker because we were playing church. Somebody ought to help me here. But now that I'm almost 60 years old, I get on my knees and say, "Lord, here I am. Once more and again, thank you for a reasonable portion of my health and strength." Have I got a witness here? When God has been good to you, don't you ever forget who it was that brought you. Don't you ever forget that it was nobody. Jesus said, "What you do to the least of these, you did it also unto me." America is going to have to repent for how we treat the stranger. But the Bible says, be careful how you entertain strangers. For some have even entertained angels unaware. But I'm coming to Mount Zion tonight to say that the flag is not the cross. The Constitution is not the Bible. And God Bless America is not my doxology. I'm here tonight because stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet strayed from the places where our fathers sighed. We have come over a way that with tears have been watered. We have come treading a path through the blood of the slaughter. I wish I had one or two witnesses here. I don't ever want to forget when I was down, God came and picked me up. When I was nobody, God pulled me off the streets, sanctified me and forgave me. And I can't walk by you and act like I don't know who you are. Listen. Lazarus is in heaven, and the rich man is in hell. And he doesn't go to hell because he kicked Lazarus. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go to hell because he misused Lazarus. Mm-hmm. He's in hell conscious because he ignored Lazarus. He ignored him. He didn't see him because he couldn't get anything from him. He couldn't do anything with him. He was not in his social strata. He was not in his economic class. He was a beggar and nothing and nobody. But when the scene changes, when the script is flipped, Lazarus is in heaven looking down at the rich man. And the rich man is in hell looking up at Lazarus, and he's conscious. He sees, he hears, he feels, because hell is a place of memory and remorse. Because in hell, he's trying to run it. In hell, he's still trying to be a shot caller. In hell, he still think he got it all going on, and he can all the folk around, because he says, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus to come down here and dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue, because I'm tormented in these flames." In hell, trying to run something. In hell, lost. In hell, trying to be all of that. Ain't got nothing. He's in hell, broke, in heat, suffering, tormented, and he's trying to give Lazarus orders through Abraham. Still think he's better than Lazarus. Abraham said, no, we ain't getting ready to do that. Because there's a gulf fixed between you and us, and we can't go where you are, and you can't come where we are. But Abraham says something that chills me in my shoes. He says, remember? Remember? And then memories start cascading in of when he had a chance to go to church. He had a chance to hear the gospel. He had a chance to do right by his neighbor. He had a chance to put his name on a church roll. He had a chance to do the right thing. But now that he's in hell, there is no chance for any of that. And Abraham says, do you remember when you had it like that and Lazarus was broke? Now Lazarus is being comforted and you're being tormented.
Nothing.
Do you remember? Lazarus is angelically transported. The rich man is in hell. And in hell, he's conscious and he remembers. Not only does he remember because of his consciousness, but in hell, not only do you have consciousness, this man is now concerned. All of a sudden, is Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Father. In hell. He had a chance to sing all these years, but now he's in hell. Father Abraham.
Yeah.
Kind of like some of my relatives. They all get saved when they go to the pen. Everybody's a preacher when they come out of jail. If they're not a Muslim, they're a preacher. Come on, talk back to me. You got some folk like that in your family. They're all spiritual and they got a Bible. That lasts about 2 months. I had one of my cousins, Reverend, named Gary. Gary went to jail and he came back a Muslim, had his little Muslim outfit, dashiki on, and his cap on his head pulled down, and he's assalamu alaikum. And he came to our house, and my mama was cooking a pork roast. And you could smell that garlic all the way down the street. And Gary said, "Mommy, give me some of that pork." I said, "Gary, I thought you was a Muslim." I'm going to get a little piece of this pork first.
Everybody gets spiritual in jail. Everybody gets spiritual on that deathbed. Everybody gets spiritual when you're in trouble. Everybody loves the Lord when it looks like you ain't going to make it. But soon as God brings you out, then you turn your back on the one you say you love. But there ought to be somebody in here tonight who know that God's been with me ever since I left the gates of hell. And I know too much about him for you to try to make me doubt him.
He's concerned. He said, send Lazarus to dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue. And there's a sermon in that, because just one drop of water from heaven can quench all the fires of hell. But he said, no, and Lazarus not doing that. Because when you were here, you had all your good stuff and wouldn't remember Lazarus, and now Lazarus is comforted and you are tormented. And there's a gulf fixed that we can't go where you are, and you can't come where we are.
No, I can't.
He said, well, send him to speak to my brothers. Send him to my father's house. Because I have five brothers, and I don't want them to come here to be tormented in these flames. Abraham said, they got Moses and the prophet. Let him hear them. Then he said, no, Father Abraham, they will be convinced if somebody rose from the dead. Let me run that by you one more time. They will be convinced if somebody rose from the dead. That man is conscious. He's concerned about his brothers, too late, I might add, because he had an opportunity to witness. He had an opportunity to join church. He had an opportunity to give his life to Christ. He had an opportunity to share his wealth with those who were less fortunate. He had an opportunity to be an usher, to be a deacon, to sing in the choir. He had an opportunity to give his money in the church and share the tithe and the offering. He missed all of that opportunity because he fared sumptuously, wore purple, and imported underwear. But now he's in hell, conscious and concerned, and finally convicted. He's finally convinced that what he's heard all these years is true. I wonder what Robert Ingersoll, the great agnostic, who said, I have no respect for any man who preaches Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I wonder what he's talking about in hell right now. I wonder what Steve Jobs, who invented the Apple phone, said that there's no such thing as a God or a heaven. I wonder who he's dialing in hell right now. Steve Hawking and Charles Darwin and Sir Isaac Newton, all of them claim that there was no God. And 1 second after death, they had to meet the one that they claimed did not exist. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. This rich man is in hell, and he is convinced that hell is a real place for real people who reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you don't know God tonight, I don't care how much you teach Sunday school, how many years you've been preaching the gospel, because you do know you can be in church and still be lost. You can read the Bible and never meet Jesus Christ. You can sing God's praises and never know the God you're singing about. You need to be convicted and convinced tonight that you better come on the Lord's side, because there's power in the Word. There's healing in the Word. There's deliverance in the Word. There's joy in the Word. That hope in the Word. There is salvation in the Word. The Word has power, I tell you.
because that word saved me one day. Down in Louisiana where I was born, I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Is there anybody here tonight? Know that that old ignorant preacher told you that there was a man named Jesus. Or maybe it was an old Sunday school teacher who told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Or maybe you were raised in a house with a mother and a father who made you get up on Sunday morning, put some clothes on, and go to church. You didn't like it then, but you sure appreciate it tonight. Maybe there was some old person in your neighborhood who told you that there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are ways of death. I said, I'm glad about the word. I'm glad I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Laugh at me if you please, but I'm going to church on Sunday morning. Talk about me and say that don't make sense to go to church every week. Well, it may not make sense to you, but you don't know what God has done for me. You might say it's silly for you to always be in revival at Mount Zion. Well, God's been so good to me. God has opened so many doors for me. God has answered so many prayers for me. God has dried so many tears for me that I'm glad to be in the service just one more time. You might say, Reverend, it don't take all of that. Well, you ought to speak for yourself. It don't take all of that for you. But you don't know where God brought me from. You don't know what God has done for me. He brought me from a mighty long way. Is there anybody here? No, God's been good to you. Is there anybody here can testify that God has opened a door for you? Is there anybody here glad your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If God's been good to you and you're not ashamed to testify, if God brought you out and you don't care who's looking at you, if God has made a way for you and you don't mind testifying, why don't you hug somebody? Why don't you grab somebody? Tell them you don't know like I know. You can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me. I'm through now. I'm trying to get in my seat now. But Abraham told the rich man, they won't believe even though one rose from the dead. But I believe tonight, because one rose from the dead. He was born in Bethlehem, reared in Nazareth, baptized in the Jordan. He died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning, he arose from the dead. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. Here, does he walk with you? He talks with me. Have you tried him? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground? Say yes, 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 yes. I know he's all right.
Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, I'm working this morning too. And good morning, Apostle Boatwright. God bless you this morning. And yeah, I'm working, so I had to take a couple of phone calls. But I thank God for Jesus. And I knew that Pastor Anderson would talk about Lazarus and the rich man. But I also found this out. No matter where we are, if God chooses to come and get us, he can come and get us. If he chooses to come and get us out of hell, he can do that. Yeah. But I thank God this morning for such messages. Because like his beginning starting off, people don't want to believe that. They don't want to hear that. I've heard of people changing religions because they didn't want to believe about heaven and hell. Well, they mainly didn't want to believe about hell. But it's a real place. If you believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that he gave him, that whosoever believe on him, he won't perish but have everlasting life, you got to believe that there is a hell, a real place. And it enlarges itself daily. I see today we have many false prophets. And they're teaching the people everybody is going to heaven. They're teaching the people God is not like that. He's only a God of love. They're teaching the people, some of them, once saved, always saved. If he saved you and you die, no matter what state you die in, you're going back with him when he comes. But I looked over in Revelation and I saw where he can erase your name out of the Lamb Book of Life. And if your name is not written in that book, no one saved, always saved. And I say this, it's better to be safe than sorry. Some people will say, well, you're doing too much, Barbara. You too deep. You telling the people too much. Listen, I'd rather do too much than to do too little. I'd rather go overboard with God than to go under. Yeah, more is better than less with him. Because we must do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. Yeah, many feel like it's my thing. I can do what I want to do. I can take it or leave it. I can do it this way. I can do it. No, we got to do it the way that the scripture says. The word said we'll be blessed if we love his laws. If we love the law, if we love his word, which will cause us to obey it, then we're going to be blessed. But if we pick and choose, okay, well, I want to do that right there, but that over there, I'm not going to do that now. I'll do this over here, but I'm going to ignore that. Now, you got to eat the whole loaf. You can't get a couple of slices out the loaf. You got to have a whole loaf. We must have a whole meal. See, because if I eat all meat and never no vegetables, I'm missing some things. And if I eat all vegetables and don't eat a vegetable that have protein, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin D, I need it all. So we need a complete meal. We need all 66 of those books. That's called the Bible. Hell is real. And again, I'm going to say it this morning. It enlarges itself daily. I told you I saw this video, a movie you could call it, where this woman said God took her to hell to show her. And she saw two demons, three, and they had something they call a roasting post. And the false preachers was on the roasting post. And one said, let me stick him. The other one said, no, let me stick him. And another one said, now you're taking too long, and just started sticking him, torturing false prophets, false preachers. We got to be real with God. We got to sell out to him with our whole heart. He won't take nothing less than all you got, because either we for him or we against him. Yeah, we can't be lukewarm. We got to be all the way for God or not for him at all, because there is no in between with him. Yeah, God do it like this, either yes or no, up or down, over or under, in or out. That's the way, nothing in between, nothing in between. Because we'll never be able to accuse him of tricking us with nothing. Yeah. And so this morning, we want to go to him for real. We want to go to him and tell him where we're slacking, where we're lacking in him. Not in your finances, not in materialistic things. You want to tell him where you're slacking and you're lacking in your spiritual walk with him. One main thing, I know the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more labors, but what about what he called or chose you to do? He called us all. Everybody he saved, he called you to a work. Those that he has chosen, he chose you to do a specific work. There are men in the hospital. We don't see all of the churches. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. It's a church on every corner, it appears. But you don't see the hospital running over with preachers and teachers and members out there praying. That's what's wrong. We don't see a group of people working in shifts going to what we call the ghetto, praying and talking to the Lord about the situation down there. And that's what's wrong. We don't see a group of folks in shift back and forth. It's always a group there praying and rebuking and binding and folks being delivered at the jailhouse without you even being on the inside. You can do it from the outside. I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm telling you what I know from self-experience. I sat on the bench on the outside of the jail and prayed for the administration of the jail and those that were locked up. Folk came home who they said wasn't coming. Folk came out of there with a change of heart and mind. But we don't work. We don't do what we're supposed to. We're so accustomed and used to the four walls of the building. But if you look at Jesus, he went to the synagogues every now and then. But his main thing was up on the mount. You always saw him around the water. You always saw him over on the mountain. On the side of the mountain, teaching the people. Because a lot of people would come who wouldn't go to church. Some folk won't go in that building because they feel they don't have the proper attire. They don't have the proper clothes to go up in there. Because man done put so many manly stipulations in there, they won't come. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We need to go out to them. Yeah, this weekend I'll be at the flea market, if God says the same. And I'm going to have cards and all kind of scriptures on the table. Why? Somebody need to ask the question, well, what do I need to do to be saved? But church folks and these folks are so afraid today until we just letting in and every old thing go on and not doing nothing about it. We'll talk about it. But what are we doing about it? The streets have a saying. This is what the street folks tell me. Don't talk about it, be about it. In other words, don't just talk about it, do something about it. But we want to be in glitz and glamour. We want to come dressed up every week. We want to give you sermons that make folks jump and shout. But we need to remind them about hell. We need to remind them that God wants everybody who will come to him to come. Some folk won't know until you go after them, go into the hedges and highways and compel man. In many cases, you're going to have to compel them to come in. You're going to have to tell them something that'll move them to come to the house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? The word of God was going to come forth in there. Why? Praise and worship was going. David was going to dance. Hey, glory before the Lord. David was going to lift his hand and open his mouth and worship God in spirit and in truth. But we got it twisted. The world changed. We want to change. The way the house of the Lord is supposed to look, it don't look like that no more, because we got to have what the world have. They change and we change the way the house look. His house should remain the same, because he don't change and neither should his house change. What we've been preaching and teaching for years, we should keep preaching and teaching that. Don't let the world change us as leadership in the house of God. In leadership, they hit these streets, but we're afraid. I've heard preachers tell people, if God didn't send you, don't go out there. Look, I read about this one man. He had one scripture. And if I'm not mistaken, it was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. That man went around the world, and that's all he had. He didn't have seminary school. Hey, glory. He had what God gave him. He had what he believed about God. And he taught faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He told us, those of us that come to him, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, we skip over a lot of stuff to get to the other stuff to make it, you know, look big and make us look good. And No. We got to go back to the old path and take a look around. Cry loud and spare not. Bring that word out. Young lady asked me about abortion yesterday. I had to tell her the truth. And some Christians didn't agree with me, but it's like this for me. His word said, thou shalt not kill. Now he took the 10 and turned them into 2. He took the 10 from the Old Testament, and if you look in that New Testament, it's going to be 2. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, everything you got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do those things, you're going to kill all 10 of them. All 10 of them is done just by you doing those 2, because he made it easy for us, because he knew we would be some weak folk. And what the old folks went through, we couldn't go through that. So what we want to do is go back to the old path and take a look around. Go back to the old path and bring the word to the people. Somebody looking for it. Somebody sick and tired of this new wave, new age stuff that is not doing nothing, but they teaching prosperity. The scripture said money answers all things. He wished that we would be in good health and prosper even as our soul prosper, as we grow in him, as we obey him more. Because if we do these things, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, these things, all these things going to be added unto us. The house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, if that's what you want. The new car, if that's what you want. A better paying job, a better business, a better ministry, if that's what you want. But we need to be seeking him. And stop following these other folks, TV evangelists and all these people. I hear what they say, but let me tell you, my spiritual ears are open. And the minute they say something that I know is not God's truth, I'm turned off. I'm turning it off. And I'm not chasing behind nobody but Jesus. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He died for me. Late in the midnight hour when nobody else is there, he's there for me all the time. If I call him, I don't get no secretary saying he's out of the country. I don't get a secretary saying, may I take a message and I give it to him. Nope. He asked for himself every time. You don't even need a secretary. Because he want to be there for you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. He would be with us until the end. And I'm grateful unto him. But we following the world pattern. We reading every book we can read and still missing the mark. That the greatest book you could ever read and pray for wisdom and understanding is the Bible. The word of God, what he inspired man to write. See, we done got bigger than life. We done got too big, as the old people back in the day taught me, too big for your britches, they used to say. Yeah, oh, she done got too big for her britches. Yeah. We got to go back to the old path and take a look around. But see, we don't want these modern, new wave, new age days and people to think that we're not as hip as they are. I want them to know I'm not as hip as you, and I don't want to be. I want to stay in that old path, looking around, obeying God, every letter, every word. Because he's coming back one day, and he's looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back one day, not as the savior of the world, but he's coming back as the great judge. And when he pronounces sentence, it won't be undone. There's nobody who can undo the sentence that he announced. Nobody. So I want to make my calling and election sure with him. This faithful few that come here daily. When I tell you something special, I know you may not believe it, and I know you may think that I think I'm something or whatever. But it's not because of me. It's because of him. He wants you on his team. When he come back, he want to take you back with him. He connected you with this over here. So that you could hear some things and choose this day whom you're going to serve. Choose this day what you're going to follow. Who you're going to follow. Let's follow Jesus. He's the son of the true and living God. He's the son of the God that have all power. He's the son of the God that if we go to hell, he can take us out if he choose to. Yeah. God is faithful. And we want to be as faithful as he are. For the past few days, I've been going to him to talk. And as I go to him to talk, he touched me. Before I opened my mouth to say a word, he touched me. So I know I'm being led by him in the prayer that I'm praying. And many days now, I'm praying for me. I pray for all of us here, me and my prayer partner. We pray for everybody here, those that even come through here one time, those that have been through here, never came back. We pray for you. But these days, a lot of days I'm praying for me. I got to be on the right path. I got to be ready when he calls my name. Hallelujah. And we all need a prayer life. We all need a Bible study life. When I read that word, I'm so grateful. I believe what I read. Sometimes I don't ask God for things. I just know he's going to do it. And if he don't do it, it's still all right. He's yet God. And he's not going to bring anything bad to me. He don't do anything evil. Sometimes what I'm asking for won't work together for the good. Therefore, I don't need it. I'm thankful. So we got to get it right with him. Every now and then, he'll send a message. Sometimes it shakes us. And that's what we need because some days we sleeping. Walking, sleeping, people. But we got to wake up and work while it's day. Night is coming and no man can see. When you stand before him, what can you take before him that you can tell him, this is what you told me to do. Be the bay. How many people will you be able to take before God and show God these are the ones that you ministered to because he told you to. These are the ones that you told about the goodness of him, because he had been so good to you. And you know that he wished that none should perish. On the job, they don't like you on the job because they don't like what you stand for. But yet, every opportunity that you get, you're talking about the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes you feel like you're alone. Sometimes you feel a little down. But he'll send somebody along to lift your spirit. It may be on the way home from work. It may be after you get home from work. But he'll send somebody so that you'll be strengthened in him. And sometimes he'll do it himself. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. And we'll go on in him. If ever there was a time to draw closer to him, now is that time. If ever there was a time to practice living right for God and with God and through God, now is that time. We know not a day, not an hour when he's returning, but yet we're seeing so much. He said we were going to hear about wars and rumors of war. Don't be afraid or alarmed. Just know that it's closer to his return. You often heard me say, you went to bed and that we didn't hear nothing about a coronavirus. We woke up the next day and it was everywhere. And the more we heard about it, the more widespread it hit the whole world. Not just a few countries. The whole world was alarmed. So we could go to bed and wake up and he pawed in the sky. I could be doing dishes and he started pawing. I could put the pot on to cook a meal and he pawed in the sky. Some of us, we just going to leave here. It'll be two in the house. Hey, glory. One left and one gone. Yeah. So are we ready? God is no joke. He's not playing no jokes. He's not playing any games. And he yet want us to be happy because we're happy in him, happy in his word, what his word said concerning us. Even today we shall live and not die. Why? To declare the works of the Lord. He didn't say we shall live and not die so that we can get the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy and all this stuff that the world is offering. So that we can declare the works of him. So we can talk about his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. Yeah, people need to know. It's pitiful. Children has gotten messed up and become adults. Never got no healing, was never set free, was never delivered, never accepted Jesus. Them people is in the world today and they are still messed up. And when they get the opportunity, they mess up other people. Preachers messing up folks from the pulpit, they call it. We got to seek God with our whole heart so we'll be on the right path. Not the path of man, but the path of God. That narrow road that leads to him. Because that wide road is full. It's so full they bumping into each other. I want to stay on that narrow. Every now and then I pass one. Hallelujah. They have their work to do and I have mine. And we get together and fellowship in him. Many times we hate to see each other go. But we got to go on because we got work to get done. Hallelujah. God is faithful to us. And we want to pray and ask him, teach me how to be faithful unto you. Everything you need to do it through prayer. Everything you want, you need to do it through prayer. Lord, teach me how to love like you love and strengthen me as you teach me how to love, because the trial for love is coming. Lord, teach me how to have patience and strengthen me as you teach me to have patience, because the trial is coming for you to have patience. But hell is real this morning. It's a real place. And what go on in hell, you're not accustomed to it. Oh, I know some people raise hell in the house. Some folk have been married to alcoholic drug abusers, and they've gone through some things. Some children have been abused. They've gone through some things. But it's not nothing like hell. Do you hear me? Yeah. And those of us that believe, hell is not a place for us. We're not used to hell. We're used to sweet, kind, loving, gracious, merciful God. In hell, we won't find that. If you don't like the heat, older ladies, I know you. Many of you gone through the change. You don't like that heat and sweating and all of that. We need to seek God more so that we don't go there. Because I heard Pastor Anderson say there's no windows. There's no exit. There's no way out. And I believe it gets hotter and hotter. And you're there throughout eternity. There's no way out. So we want to consider these things. We want to consider the whole matter. We want to consider the conclusion. Hallelujah. Seek God. Because he's checking out the good and the bad. The good and the evil. He's checking out what we've done yesterday and what we're doing today. Hallelujah. I'm learning. I'm trying to learn. I was thinking on that. I'm a giver and I can't help myself. And you got a lot of preachers that are not givers after that money. And it's in my family. And some days it just hurt my feelings. But it's nothing I can do but pray. And I'm on at the flea market on Saturday selling my dollar items. I have a lot of them too. And sometimes I just feel like giving somebody something. Or somebody may say, well, how much is that? I want to say 50 cents so bad. But I go on and say a dollar. Because when you are a giver, God will cause men to give into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Yes, he will. Be a giver and watch what happens. Many days I like to give for no reason. Yeah. My freezer was so full, I couldn't get nothing else in, and it stayed that way, and it stayed that way. And I finally got it to where, you know, I gave out. Yeah, I got it to where I needed to be. And I said, I don't want to pack it like that no more. But if God says the same and he has opened doors, I will do it and give out more. He loves a cheerful giver. Not just money, not just stuff and things, but he likes folks who won't give of their time. He likes it when somebody sit down with you and encourage you. And it may not be from the scripture, but you're saying good things to them. Sometimes you're telling the person good things about themselves that you see. Many times I see women, they're beautiful, and they run and put makeup on. You don't get that mess off you, girl. You naturally beautiful. Because they want to look like the other women because they think other women getting me. And no, I can't do it for that. He made me who I am. Yeah, and I'm going to accept what God made and what he made me. If I want to do anything, I'm going to start reading up on some stuff to give me wisdom. Yeah, I'm going to check them scriptures and make sure I'm on the right path. It's a beautiful woman that have a beautiful heart of God. It's a beautiful woman that can tell you the truth. Yeah. But many looking on that outer appearance and they say, oh, I'm a plain Jane. Because that's what somebody said you are. I'm nobody plain Jane. I'm the daughter of Almighty God Jehovah who have all power. He made nothing ugly. Yeah. He made us beautiful. Men, he made you beautiful. You might be going bald. Go on bald. Well, that's just the natural way of the human body getting older. You're going to lose some things. You may lose teeth. I lost some. And I was ashamed at first. Oh, I got to cover my mind. I ain't covering nothing. Because I don't come to impress. Why should I impress? What am I trying to gain from you? If I'm impressing you, I'm trying to gain something from you. I'm trying to get something, I'm telling you. But if I just be me, or I'm trying to make you feel that I'm something that I'm really not. And God is not going to stand for fake. Nothing wrong with you looking good, keeping yourself looking good. Yeah, if you got all your teeth white, them, keep them white, keep them clean, keep your mouth clean. Nothing wrong with that. Keep your hair clean. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, bathe often, you know, and keep your body clean. Nothing wrong with that. But if you got to keep adding stuff to you, something wrong. You're not sick, but you got to add some hips to yourself. You got to add some more to your chest. And nothing wrong with your chest. You ain't having no problems. Something is wrong. And it's not wrong with your body. It's wrong with your mind. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. I never did see, and they said Jesus was not a man desired to look upon. But I didn't see him changing nothing and going nowhere trying to get nothing different. And we need to do the same thing. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning, and when we come back, the studio is open. If there's anything you would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning. Hallelujah. Whenever God shines his light on us, hallelujah. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. And we thank God this morning. The studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say this morning, please feel free to press that number one and come in this morning and share with us. And you may have a testimony or you may have a prayer request, or it may be something else that you want to talk about this morning. Feel free to press that number one and come in. If not, we will pray out this morning and go to our last song of the morning. And we're praying that God bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Yeah. All right, Brother Anthony, I got you right here. Good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
I'm blessed, how the people. Good morning, Ms. Bo. Good morning to everybody. And just, first of all, I want to give God thanks for waking me up this morning. Thank him for life, health, and strength, keeping my right mind. Allow me to see another day never seen before. Thank you for the activity of my limbs. Thank you for who he is, me, what he's done for me, where he brought me from, the way he taken me. And I thank God for ministry Jesus in the morning, and you, Ms. Bob, and everybody out there listening. I just wanted to just call in or say a word or two, because I got to try to get me a couple more hours of sleep, but I had to get up and do something this morning. So I just wanted to, you know, just get my voice be heard this morning. But so just God bless everybody. Y'all have a blessed day, and just continue to keep me in y'all prayers. Amen.
But Anthony, did you get back home yet?
I'm still in. I'm in the truck. I'm in. Matter of fact, I'm in Mississippi right now, heading to Louisiana.
All right. So they did fix your truck. Did they fix it?
Oh, they put me in another truck.
Okay, I thought that would be the case. I didn't think he would let you come all the way back home. I was thinking like that. I said, if he do, he going to sit right back for him, because he got him a good driver, whether he know it or not. And we thank God, and we pray that God open every door for you, Brother Anthony, and that he would give you favor on this particular job, and that this is where one day you will retire from, if it be God's will. And if this is working together for your good, that's our prayer for you. Yeah. Because I appreciate what the Lord has done in your life and for you, where he brought you from. I remember before you went to truck driving school. Yeah. And I remember you telling us, a deacon at the church had connections with the truck driving. And next thing we knew, you was in a truck and driving it. And I used to see you on the videos going down the highway, asking, where we ride today? We going somewhere today. And I would ride a while. Yeah. And I thank God for that, because that's a blessing for me to see where God brought you from to where you are today. And you're not, it's not just going to stop right there. He's not done. It's not completed. Yeah. Now, when he get through, you'll be able to tell us more. Hallelujah. But he's yet working. He's yet working. And what we have to do is have patience. Yeah, we have to have great patience working with God. Yeah, because he don't always do it overnight. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while. Some things I had to wait years for. Oh, but when he got through, hallelujah, I could tell him, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for it. If I had to wait again for this right here, Father, I'll wait. Yeah, because when he got through, it was more than I needed. Yeah. So you're just in the wait mode. That's where you are. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Good morning, Sister Stena. Go ahead, Brother Anthony. You had something else to say?
No, just thank God. Thank you. You know, agreeing with what you're saying, just thanking him.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, Sister Stena. Good morning, Sister Jerry. Good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. Good morning to you, Sister Sion. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to you, Sister Simone. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. And that may be Pastor David. Good morning, Pastor David. God, I wish y'all could see them flowers. I put them on Facebook that he brought me. Oh, I was tickled. Oh, my goodness. It made my day go better. I'm telling you, my son had given me some on Friday. And then his was the kind I could, you know, the what they call them, the fake kind, I guess you call them. They're not the real live flower. But Pastor David came in here, Sunday with the real flower. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And it blessed me real good. Good morning, Thelma. God bless you this morning, Sugarfoot. God bless you. And we thank God for the day. Thank God for each and every caller. Sister Mary Ann over there. God bless you, Sister Mary Ann. And I thank God for you. And thank you for all you've done for me. And he used you to do. God bless you. And God bless you. My God, baby, Sister Laura. God bless you. Mr. Mason, good morning. And Miss Deborah, good morning. And Alexis and Sister Andrea in Philadelphia. Keisha and Sister Diane this morning. And I say Sister Angela Foot. Good morning to you, Sister Angela. Tell Mama I'm so sorry because I promised to call her, but I didn't. And that is my friend. And when she and I get together, we do some big talking too from back in the day. You know, I like all that kind of carried on. And so I thank God for you this morning, Sister Angela Lee Foot. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hobbs. And Sister Michelle and Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright in the house this morning. God bless you, Apostle. Thank God for you. Good morning to you, the main man holding that chat room in place over there, Brother Louis. God bless you this morning, Brother Louis. I thank God for you. Thank God for you, Brother Louis. Yeah, he has been a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right. Thank you for Louis. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. And again, Brother Anthony and Brother D, Brother Mike Hopps. Good morning to you. And I said I was going to call him Hopps and didn't get around to it, but eventually I'll check on him. Good morning to you, Brother George West Perry and Brother Cal and Brother Justin Gilmore. Good morning to you. And good morning to the F.A. Brother Lee Hamilton, Brother George West Perry. God bless you over there. Brother Marquez Griffin, good morning to you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for each of you. And I kind of have a platter running right now. My platter is running over. I have a lot of things on there and a lot of things I'm trying and got to get done. I got to go over to the Tire Plus this morning, take the truck, and make sure I got front end alignment because it's driving kind of raggedy to me. And it feels like it's in the front wheel, especially the right wheel. So I'm going over and have them to check that out this morning because the truck don't drive raggedy. It drives smooth. And so with that being like that, I don't even want to go nowhere until I get that repaired. And this Saturday, I pray to be at the flea market, and this Sunday, I pray to go to the prison And so I thank God for it. And someone asked me yesterday, well, when are they going to let you minister? I'm already doing it. Yeah, I'm in studying some stuff, but I'm already wide open. Because, you know, I don't need training for God to move. He'll open a door. He gave me favor. Yeah, I walked in there to visit, and God gave me favor. And I never forget it. It was this young man, and he had life. And God told me what to tell him and told me to tell him that's what they said, man said, but that wasn't what he said. Hallelujah. God is faithful. And see, a lot of times he know what man done did wrong, but he allowed it because we hard-headed. We wouldn't listen. We wouldn't obey. So God allowed it. Yeah. You wrong and they wrong. But now the minute you get it right with me, I'm going to change the verdict that they gave. I'm going to change what they said into what I really want for you. Hallelujah. He's able. And I heard Pastor Anderson say, when you were sick, you didn't come see me. And when I was in prison, you didn't come see me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I got the dough, you didn't give me a spot to stay. I was naked, you didn't give me nothing to wear. So when was you like that, Lord? He said, when you did it to the least one. Yeah. When you did it to those that need it. He loves a cheerful giver. And that's why I say, not just money, but if we'll give of our time. I remember Sister Angela telling me, because you know she is the lady in the operating room. They give the doctor his utensils to perform operations. I thought that was the best thing since sliced bread. You hear me? I was so excited about that. And she is just coming to her. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da about it. I'm all up in the air about it. You hear me? And she said a lot of times when they get through, because when the doctor get through, he just leave everything right there and somebody come behind him and clean it up. And she said the cleaning crew be in there cleaning, and she don't have anything else to do right away. They're not performing another surgery right away, so she go in with the cleaning crew and help them clean up. And she said they have told her, oh, you don't have to do this, because they realize who she is. She said, oh, it's no problem. You know, I don't mind helping. And she go right in there and help them clean up. Now, that's humble. That's humbleness. Yeah. And I know God see that, and he can't help but bless us. But I just thought that was all of that and a bag of chips. Yeah, and she give the doctor the tools to perform the surgery. Wow. And you know, they sterilize them, clean them, you know, after they get through the stuff. Give me a scalpel, she had him the scalpel. Give me an axe, she had him an axe. I want the saw, give me a saw. But you know, it have medical names on it. Yeah, and she know all of those medical names and medical terms on it. And I thought that was just awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And so we thank God that he blessed us with many different kind of people. Yeah, believers. They believe what we believe. Oh, yeah. So if no one else have anything to say, I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning. Again, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Anyone else? All right. We're going to pray out. Did I say good morning, Sister Jerry? Good morning, Sister Jerry, in case I didn't. I didn't really look at the list. I just started calling names. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us already this morning. You woke us up closed in our right mind with the use and activity of limbs, life, health, and strength. Father, we can see many of us. We can hear many of us. Lord, we can move around many of us. We can move our hands. Or we can hear. And we thank you this morning. For without you, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we're grateful unto you this morning. Father, we appreciate you. And we love you. For it was you who first loved us. Help us today, Father, to remember your word. Help us to remember you. Help us to keep our mind on you. Father, you will keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind on you. Let this mind be in us today that was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Father, he just wanted to obey. And we want to obey you. We want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Move by your spirit this day for us. Lead and guide us in the right path for your name's sake. In the name of Jesus, we are asking. And Father, those that are sick this morning, we ask that you would touch and heal. In the name of Jesus, you took a beating for the healing of the nation. And Father, there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. It's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today, for your name's sake, that you'll be glorified, you'll be lifted up, you'll be testified about in the name of Jesus. Those that stand in the need of finances this morning, open doors and make ways. Other situation, God, that they can do nothing about this morning. Only you can move for them. Move in a mighty way for your people. Bless every caller this morning, every listener, every family member, every friend, near and far. Oh, do it this morning for your glory, God. In the name of Jesus, you desire to bless your people, and we stand in need. And Father, it's you that supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, for us this morning, oh God, we need you. We can't make it without you. Help us today, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bow down before you. We reverence you this morning. We worship you in spirit and in truth today. We give you all the praise, for you alone are worthy. Hallelujah to his majesty. We thank you this morning. And Father, bless our going out today. Bless our coming in. And again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. May the 4th, 2022, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to the last song of the morning. After this song, I won't be coming back. Have a blessed day.
Cooling water, cooling water, cooling water, cooling water.
Done.